Praise God. We thank you, Father, that we're all redeemed, that we're all forgiven, that the blood of Jesus covers us, that his blood is more than enough. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. There is victory in our lives because of Jesus, that we can come to you and we can always know what you have in store for us because it's good. It's good plans for each and every one. I thank you, Father, that this day on Wednesday evening is the rest of this week is the best of this week. Hallelujah. Starting with this service tonight, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. You may be seated this evening. Hallelujah. Thank you all for coming out tonight. You all are looking good. Praise God. Hallelujah. So how'd you like the sign? Did you all see the sign when you came in? Doesn't it look great out there? Praise God. We're so excited about that. And we're the other one is in, but they've been a little bit backlogged, the one for this big window here. So we're believing it'll be in by Sunday. And so I know that's good for them that they have so much business, right? But it's all coming together. So we're thankful for that. If it's your first time, our website is vlfc.church, where you can find out more about us, all of our past sermons, notes. You can submit testimonies, prayer requests. Praise God. We just heard some awesome testimonies tonight. The area, we've had such a challenging time this past, week with the fires here in the area. And we're so thankful for what the Lord has done as far as protecting the people, protecting John here, our fireman here, volunteer going out. We appreciate you all so much. I mean, let's just give him a hand. Praise God. We appreciate you so much. And we've been praying. And thankfully, you know, everyone from our church, their homes and properties were not touched. There's still people out there that have been affected. And we continue to pray over those things. And we haven't let go. But we heard some awesome testimonies tonight where one of our members here, the fire went right up to the house where you grew up in. Is that right? It literally stopped at the house. Literally, it's burnt up all the way. At the foundation. Praise God. And just so many testimonies, you know, and praise God. I just had kept seeing angels dumping water, buckets of water on that, on those fires. And we believe in the supernatural power of God. Amen. God is good. And so we're going to continue to pray. We're so grateful for all who came together in the community. Just, we're just so thankful for that. It's really almost in awe of just that, you know, we've all been affected in some way, and we just take time to give thanks to God, give thanks to God. And we pray that he continues to bring people together and bring people to him. He didn't cause these things, but we're praying that people come to him and turn to him. Speaking of that, I'm actually going to, we are on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram, with more outlets on the way. So subscribe, follow, like, and share. Sunday's doors open at 9. Pre-service prayers from 9:20 to 9:40, and service starts at 10. So come early for fellowship and coffee. Friday prayer is at our house from 9 to 10 this Friday. And also for volunteers, we do have schedules set out for the next couple months over here on the table. So if you've signed up to volunteer, go check the schedule and you can see where you're plugged in at. Also, Wednesdays, doors open at 6 o'clock and service starts at 6:30. Next Wednesday, we're going to have a prayer service here. And so we're excited about that. So come early and for fellowship and yes. And so I'll be leading that because Pastor Rodney will be in Texas. Why is he going to be in Texas? Does anybody know? Getting our chairs. Praise God. So he's going to go get the 42 chairs that we ordered. He's leaving Tuesday morning. And so he'll be gone for the whole week. And so, Alice and I and Mom will be holding down the fort, and we hope that you all will come. Praise God. No. He's leaving Tuesday, and he'll be back Friday night. And so Tuesday morning through Friday night. And so he'll be, the chairs will be back in time for Holy Week, which is March 29th. So that starts Palm Sunday. So the chairs will be here for Palm Sunday. And how many of you know Resurrection Sunday and those services are really it's the most, I guess, amount of people that come to church is for Resurrection Sunday. If they're going to come to church, they come those times. And so we're going to have our chairs over there on the table. There's these cards, our church cards. I encourage you to take a handful of them, take a few of them, and invite people to church, invite them to come. And that's what one of the things we'll be praying over on Wednesday night is our community. We're going to be praying over our community next Wednesday. And, you know, just for their hearts to be softened to the Lord. We're also going to be advertising this in the Keith County News and social media as well. And so we want this word to get out because we know God has a good plan for the community, for the people, and we are believing for salvation for them. So please bring someone to church with you. Let's see. So we're calling in by faith a building of our own with lots of room for growth. With rooms for prayer groups, children's rooms, connect groups, nursery classrooms, ministry, young adults, and our fellowship hall. Didn't y'all enjoy the fellowship dinner last Wednesday? That was a lot of fun. It was good food. I actually thought tonight it sounded good to have another one. So, and so speaking of the 42 chairs, here's the report because we're given one every service. So those 42 chairs, those cost $3,654.
That is a bunch of money.
So far, $3,010 has come in. Can you give God glory for that? Wow. We thank you all. Thank the Lord. Thank you for those of you watching. People, like we say, they've sewn for chairs. Sewn chairs, and they haven't even been here yet. And they may or may not ever come. We hope you do. And you're always welcome. But we're just so grateful. So far, $3,010 has come in, and there are only 7.5 chairs remaining, which is $644. So we call in that $644 to get here before Pastor Rodney goes down that road. And so as the Lord, oh, we know it. As the Lord leads, if you want, you can sew 1, 2, or 7.5 chairs tonight. Praise God. We're believing God for the finances for the chairs to come in. And so by faith, we have them now. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 through 12, double, double, and double again. And so I apologize, I did not mention this Sunday, but if you sew for a chair here or watching, it's put building fund on there or chair, because if it's online, there's a drop down, it's general fund or building fund. So it's designated funds and we have to appropriate it that way. And so I just want to let you know, building fund is for the chairs. Praise God. Hallelujah. With that, it's offering time. Praise God. I'm just going to read this evening, Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, it says, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." And other translations say, "For I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans to prosper you." He has prosperous thoughts towards each and every one of us, towards our community, towards the people. And also Acts chapter 3, I read this on Sunday. The Lord gave us this, but he was saying times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. And this may not really sound like an offering message, but Acts 3 verse 19, it says, "So repent, turn around and return, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, and then it says of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord. So that goes to me with Jeremiah 29:11. When you're seeking the Lord and you're in his presence, times of refreshing comes. Isn't that beautiful? And so that's what he has for each and every one of us. So as we're sowing today, as you're sowing your seed, whether it's for the, if you have it designated to the chair or whatever you're sowing for in your life, we're calling in that harvest. He has a name attached to that. And so let's say our offering confessions this evening. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, all our resources, including our chairs. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm telling you, it's going to be such an encouragement and a blessing to see when all these chairs arrive and you know you've had a part in it. Isn't that awesome? I'm just giving praise to God. We'll have to have a party. We'll have to celebrate. We are going to praise God. And so if you're giving in the room, there's an offering envelope under your seat or under the seat in front of you. If you don't have one, you could raise your hand in the front row. If you're writing a check, please write it to BLFC. And if you're giving online, the website's up on the screen. If you're giving by cash or card, please fill out your name and your address. And praise God. I'll receive the offering.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Ha ha. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. One more time. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place.
He's easy. He's easy to be entreated. And just in a moment of time, wherever you're at, whatever you may be dealing with, you can just acknowledge him, just start worshiping him, just start magnifying him and inviting him in. And it doesn't take long. 5 seconds, 10 seconds, half a second, a minute. You can just press and just step right over into the manifested presence of God. He's right there. He said in Hebrews 13, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. No, not ever. Oh, but that you might boldly say, the Lord's my helper. Amen. And just start acknowledging the helper. Acknowledge Holy Spirit, the helper. Acknowledge the greater one. And he's right there to help. He's right there to give you peace. Ha ha. Thank you, Lord. Whatever you need, you just reach out and you receive. He's right there. He's right there, closer than your very next breath. He's right there. Amen. Living on the inside of you. Amen. Are we aware? Are we acknowledging? Amen. Because as we do, the manifestor presence of God will show up in your car. He'll show up right there in your bedroom. He'll show up there wherever you're at. Amen. And in this service tonight, and Holy Spirit, we invite you in, into our lives, into this service, Lord, into this word that you've given us to share tonight. Lord, we're asking you right now by the help of Holy Spirit to unfold it to us. Help each one of us to see corporately, but also individually, what we need. What we can take away from this. And Lord, we know that every church service, that Lord, as you have called us to be here and you are here in this place, it is a visitation. This service tonight is a visitation from the head of the church for each one of us. And so by faith, we are releasing our faith. We are expecting and we are receiving a word from God tonight. And we give you thanks for it. And if you agree, say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, I know you do, a hard copy or soft copy, whatever it is, let's hold it up big together. This is my Bible, the living Word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do, and I will do it. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to get back going here again in Mark chapter 11. We've been sharing on this the last couple of services, and we've got a couple more yet here. But in Mark chapter 11, we're going to read this passage, and we're just going to continue unpacking it here tonight. And that's verses 11 through 24. Then Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, when they had left Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if there was any fruit on it. But when he reached it, he found nothing on it except leaves, since it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat of your fruit again." And his disciples heard this statement. When they arrived in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began to drive out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those selling doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. Then Jesus began to teach them, and he declared, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" When the chief priests and scribes heard this, they looked for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him because the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city, and they were walking back in the morning. They saw the fig tree withered from its roots. Peter remembered it and said, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus said to them. "Truly I tell you that if anyone says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and has no doubt in his heart, but believes that it will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." And the church said, amen. Praise God. Amen. So tonight, we're going to continue in this journey, looking through what really is one of the most concentrated teachings Jesus gave on how the kingdom of God actually operates. Amen. So this passage here, we see it's not this random sequence of events. We see the fig tree. Well, actually, it starts off in the temple. Then we see the fig tree, and then the temple, and then the fig tree again. This isn't just happenstance. It's divinely put together, and it all fits together. Amen. And so that's what we've been looking to see. We're going to see more about this tonight. Amen. But it's carefully ordered revelation. Jesus is not just doing miracles. He's teaching his disciples how faith operates, or how the kingdom of God operates by faith. Before Jesus ever says in verse 22, have faith in God, he first shows them what the God kind of faith looks like in real time. He models it, he demonstrates it, and his life embodies it everywhere he goes. Amen. So we're going to be looking here in this opening section. Jesus gives two living illustrations. First, we see a temple that is full of activity, but is empty of actual spiritual fruit. We also see a fig tree, which is a representation of Israel. When you go back in Scripture, the fig tree represents Israel. A fig tree that is full of leaves, but it's empty of fruit. In both cases, Jesus operates in the God kind of faith to deal with both. Amen? Praise God. So again, these are pictures of what it looks like of a system that looks alive on the outside, but has no real substance on the inside. You know, religion will always have activity. Always, you will always see activity in religion. You'll see a lot of activity, but you won't necessarily see fruit, but you'll see activity. Do not mistake activity for actual spiritual fruit, right? You know, you just in people's daily lives, you know, growing up, you know, you could see people who are just busy, busy, busy. But are you actually productive? There's a difference. You know, and over the years, I had the opportunities for different, you know, in ministry, was managed a prayer line and then managed other businesses and stuff. And so I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of employees over the years, and you see different strokes, different folks, different personalities. You know, I remember certain ones, you know, and they were, you know, just busy, you know, and you talk to them and it's just like, oh, they're just so busy and they got so much to do, you know, but you just kind of notice. And so you'll kind of set them down. Well, let's talk about what we're actually doing and what we've actually accomplished. And what we come to find out is maybe they had only accomplished this much next to their peers. But yet they were busy. They are active, but they're not really accomplishing anything because they're going about it in a different way, or they're constantly getting sidetracked. And so there's different things. So never, again, the point here is never mistake activity for productivity. Amen. Praise God. And this is what we really saw here. We saw a fig tree that's full of leaves, but no fruit. We saw a temple full of all kinds of activity, but no fruit. Amen. Praise God. So again, think about that in our own lives. Where is it that we've been busy? Where have we been toiling? Where have we been trying to work 2-3 jobs or whatever it is? What is it that we're doing? Amen. And examine the fruit of it. Amen. Am I really being productive in the kingdom? Thank you, Lord. Amen. So look at these. These are both pictures of what Jesus came to confront and what he personally came to replace. Amen. Both of these things are setting up the stage for his teaching on this God kind of faith. So tonight we're going to look at this part of the passage, Jesus cleaning the temple and the withering of the fig tree. And in this, we're going to see how Jesus models faith that, number one, hears, faith that acts, and most importantly, faith that gets results. Amen. I don't want to be busy, busy, busy and not have some fruit at the end of the day. Amen. I don't want to just have a whole bunch of leaves out here and nothing to show for it. No, I need to have something to show. Amen. And then when I get to the end of this life, you know, should the Lord tarry, and whenever we do stand before the Lord, not many days from now, I don't want to hear, well, I want to hear, well done. Amen. You found out what the will of God is. You went and got it done. Attaboy. Amen. That's what I want to hear. Amen. I don't want to go and say, hey, you know, well, we did this in ministry and yeah, we started a church and we did this and we did that. And well, you know, did you really get done what I had for you to do? Were you checking with me? Amen. Were you doing it out of the right heart? Again, all of these things, am I tuned in to hear him? Amen. In everything. So it's not just that I'm in the right place at the right time or even with the right people doing the right thing. I'm also doing it out of the right heart. And the only way I can have the right heart is to stay in communion with him. Amen. And this is how Jesus functioned. He was so tuned into the heart of the Father that faith just naturally flowed out of him. Faith wasn't something he had to work up. Faith was not something he had to work up. Jesus didn't say, I've got to faith it till I make it. No, no, no. I'm tuned in. I've heard from God. So again, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. If I will hear his word, number one, know what he's written in the book. And number two, get before him, seek his face. Hear from heaven for myself. This is how I'm to handle this situation. I'm no longer trying to work up faith. I've just got faith. I've got the God kind of faith because I've got that word from God, which has made a rock out of me in this particular area. And now I can go operate in full confidence and full assurance. I'm not wondering about, well, is that fig tree really going to never produce fruit? No, I already know. Before I ever got to the fig tree, amen, when I spoke to the fig tree, when I walked away from the fig tree, I already know what has already happened because I've dealt with it in prayer the night before. I already saw it in my spirit beforehand. So many times, you know, as you know, over the years, and just different things, you know, obviously in ministry, you know, but just in daily life, you know, you'll just have this inward witness, this inward prompting by the Holy Spirit, and you'll just see, I'm supposed to go do this. I'm just supposed to go say this. And again, it's not that you don't hear an audible voice. God doesn't speak to you through an audible voice, but he does speak to you by your spirit. Again, Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So again, we can invert that statement. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Number one, we are led through the written word of God. Amen. But Holy Spirit takes and he breathes on this word in to show you this is how this is to operate today. This is how this is supposed to function today. So I'll just see myself going over here and doing this. You know, when ministering to people, how, you know, there's 100 healing scriptures. Well, you know, which one do we go to this time? You know, do we even do that? Do I lay hands or do I speak a word? Whatever it is, he will show you. Amen. This is learning to work with Holy Spirit. Now, again, when you start in this, yeah, you're going to stumble. You're going to make some mistakes and that's okay. Amen. But Peter still walked on water and he still sank, you know. Amen. But he got right back up. Jesus was right there, helped him, got back in the boat. And Peter was used mightily of God in his generation. And yet Peter made all kinds of mistakes. It's okay. You're going to make mistakes. God still loves you. You know, what child doesn't make mistakes? Of course they do. Amen. But daddy's a good daddy. He's going to help. He's going to help you. He's going to work with you to get this thing right in the end if you'll just stay with it. Amen. And we're staying with it. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. So we want to pick up here tonight at verse 15. It says, when they arrived in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts, began to drive out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those selling doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. Then Jesus began to teach them, and he declared, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations? But you have made it into a den of robbers. When the chief priests and scribes heard this, they looked for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him because the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. Now you can back up. They were already trying to kill Jesus. They've been at this for a little bit. They've been very upset. You know, and Jesus had many times called them out publicly. And at one point, he really had a whole discourse on it. You know, you sons of the devil, you hypocrites, you brood of vipers. He, you know, and he calls them out. And again, this is really making them look bad in the eyes of the people, which is upsetting their authority, which is upsetting their money. Authority. So again, money and power. Money and power is what these guys have been accustomed to. This is what they've grown up in. They naturally climb the ladder. You know, they've done these things so they can sit in these seats, money and power. And they will kill for it. They don't care if you're the Christ. We're going to kill you for it because I'm not going to give up my position. And they were really afraid. Because again, a whole mob, you know, a little bit before this had tried to go take Jesus and put him on the throne. They said, we know you're the Christ. We know that you're the Messiah. We're going to speed this thing up. We're going to go put you on the throne. They knew that. They knew that. They were afraid because if that happens, all their money, all their authority out the window. Right? Amen? They were not okay with that. So now we see here Jesus, he returns to the temple. This is the second time. So he was there the day before, looked around, did nothing, said nothing. He goes home back to Bethany. He's obviously hearing from the Father that night what to do, what to say, and Father obviously downloads this to him. This is what you're going to do. This is what we're going to say. Amen. Because Jesus at this point, this is just a few days before he's crucified. He's been coming to this temple. He's 33 and a half years old. He's been in this temple countless times over the course of his life and even in his earthly ministry. And Father had never told him up until now to do or say anything. So again, he's been here. He's seen all this for a long time. This didn't just happen overnight. This has been going on for years, you know. All right. So here he calls this a den of robbers. In looking at the corruption here, the high priest at this time is Caiaphas. And this is, and so there's these different sects. There's the high priest, there's the Pharisees, but then we have the Sadducean aristocracy. These guys controlled the commerce in the temple. So this is all coming back to the high priest, you know, which I call him really, this is the religious mafia. It operated very much like you would see the mafia operate today. Caiaphas, he's the head of this. He's the head of the family. He's literally the head of this mafia religious family. And this is exactly how they operate, like a mafia. Right? They exploited worshipers through inflated exchange rates and overpriced sacrifices. They would reject people's offerings. So you would bring in your goat, your lamb, this and that, and they would examine it and say, no, it's got this blemish on it. We'll sell you this one at, you know, twice the price. You know, this is what, so again, it was all just a scam. And a lot of this people had come to despise this. And this happened over hundreds of years. You can read this back over in the book of Malachi, right at the end of the Old Testament, 400 years earlier. It was happening then. And it happened before then, too. You, of course, when you get men involved, when you get religion involved, you know, money and power. Money and power. Men get used to this, you know, and they want more of it, right? You know. So we also, again, we're talking about the religious mafia. Also looking here, so again, they're under Roman occupation. So, but even though they're under Roman occupation, these guys are still governing authority over the daily activities of Jewish life. So here at the temple, they have the temple guards. Temple guards. So these could have been a mix of peoples, but most of them would have been Jewish. And they would have been well-paid, well-trained. These are fully equipped, full-time guards, full-time soldiers, and there's a garrison of them there at the temple. Again, just a few days later, they go right across the way over to the Mount of Olives, and that's where they arrest Jesus. It's these temple guards. They didn't send Roman soldiers. They don't care. They sent the temple guards, all right? Again, the temple guards are there to enforce. So again, if someone's getting out of line in the temple, someone's not paying, someone's this, the temple guard is to make sure that everything's going smoothly, that the money's flowing as it should. We don't have disruption here to the business. So these are really the enforcers. So again, Jesus, again, we mentioned this a moment ago, but he's already confronted them about this. He's exposed their greed, and now he is really threatening their power. You just drove out all of our business. You drove everyone out. So you know, again, we talked about this on Sunday. This is a huge temple. What people would do is they would also charge you a toll. So if I want to get, you know, my goods, you know, from one side of town to the other, I can go way around. I can go through all the traffic, or I can take this shortcut right through the temple. Well, you can do that for a price. Everything's got a price attached to it. And again, so Jesus, when we go back here and we read what he says, he drive out those who are buying and selling. He overturns the table of the money changers. So again, they're ripping people off on the exchange rates, seats of those selling doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. So again, they're just this is supposed to be a house of prayer, house of God, the most holiest place on earth. And they're just treating it, you know, like a bazaar, right? You know, like a shopping mall, you know, with who knows what going on. All right. Look in here also. So again, we have this whole ruling class. So you can call them overall, we call them the Sanhedrin. Some in the Sanhedrin actually knew who Jesus was, but they stayed silent and even went along with this all the way through to his crucifixion, which takes place in a few more days. We see two examples of this in John chapter 3, 1 and 2. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees. So again, this is a religious sect within the Sanhedrin named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. So again, he's not just one of the guys. He is a leader of the Jews. So he's one of the top guys. His voice carries weight. People know who Nicodemus is, all right? He comes to Jesus at night and says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God." He didn't, now notice here, he didn't say, "I know." He said, "We know." He's a leader, and he's saying, "We know that you came from God. God sent you." Now again, at this point, they're not necessarily saying that he is the Christ, but we absolutely know that you're, at the very least, you are a prophet sent by God. We know this. We know this. "For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." The very works that Jesus did. Jesus even talked about this before. If you don't believe me, believe the works. These are the works of the Father. You know, I said, "I'm not doing it. It's the Father dwelling in me. He does the works." So again, they know it. They know it. John 12, 42, 43. "Nevertheless, many of the leaders believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him." So again, Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a leader, one of the leaders among them. So again, just looking at these accounts, "Nevertheless, many of the leaders," so even those outside of the Pharisees, other religious leaders, "many of the leaders believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue." Well, if I go over there to Jesus' meeting, they're going to kick me out of my church. They're going to kick me out of my religion. It says here, why? "For they loved praise from men more than praise from God." They love praise from men more than they love praise from God. They knew who he was. They knew who he was. How narrow-minded can you be? Well, we see it. over the years, I've still not gotten over that, you know, and it's like, and again, but I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it, you know, talking to others. You know, we've over the years, you know, known people who go to churches, you know, and they go out of religious obligation, not just obligation, but, you know, family grew up here. I don't really believe what they're teaching and preaching, but, you know, this is where I grew up. This is my home church, and so this is just where I'm going to go. But, you know, I don't see it that way. I know it's not right, you know, especially now that the woke culture has invaded the church. And people will tell you, "Yeah, I don't believe that's right, but I'm still going to go to church here. I'm still going to give tithes and offerings into this church." And I'm like, "Well," and you know what God has to say about it, and yet you still think it's okay. I'm just, you know. Amen. But again, there's all different types of things with this, but they love praise from men more than praise from God. Their issue with Jesus, really, in this sense, is it's not theological. It's not theological. It's the authority. He's coming for their authority and their power, and that they can't stand for. They said, "No, I would rather be recognized by my denomination, Pharisee, Sadducee, you know. I would rather be recognized by the high priest as a good follower, you know. I would rather keep the money coming than I would to accept praise from God. And I'll go as far as to kill the Christ. I will go as far as to kill anybody that gets in the way. This is what they said in their hearts, which is interesting. I was just thinking about this, you know, this, we're going to be teaching on this today and then on Sunday. And then next time we come, we'll be on Palm Sunday. Actually, all of this feeds right into Holy Week because these are leading right up to it. And during Holy Week, we're going to take a look at what happened on that Palm Sunday, what happened on that triumphant entry. We're going to look at on that Wednesday night what happened at the Passover. And then, of course, we're going to look at what happened on the resurrection. Praise God. And I'm looking forward to that time. Hallelujah. But so looking here, Jesus saw and he knew all of these things. But Jesus, note here, did not act presumptuously. Mark 11:11 says Jesus looked around at everything the day before. He saw the corruption. He discerns the moment. But yet, again, for 33 and a half years of his life, he's seen it. He's discerned it. But now he goes back to Bethany to spend time with the Father to hear from him. It wasn't until the next day that he acts, not out of impulse. This is not a knee-jerk reaction. This is not just, you know, blurting out the first 20 scriptures that come to mind. No, he's operating out of revelation knowledge. I've heard from God. I know what the will is, but now I've heard from him. It's been revealed to me what I need to do in this situation. Amen. Now he's got faith to act on. Because up until then, if he had tried to go and do anything, it would not have had the same results. Jesus said it over and over. Yeah, I can do nothing of myself. I can only say as I hear him say. I can only do as I see him do. Faith is never presumptuous. Faith is always going to seek God to find out what he would have me do in this situation. So there is a pattern for us when something in our life does not line up with the word. Healing. So again, you know, something happens in your body. You have a pain. You have this. You have that. Maybe you've gone to the doctor. Maybe you've gotten a bad report. What do you do next? Well, number one, don't receive that. That, you know, don't receive. Oh, they said I've got terminal this and terminal that. Oh no, you're done. No. I know that the word says by his stripes I'm healed. I know that's what it says, and I know that is the truth. Oh, but now, Holy Spirit, John 16:13, we quote it often, but I just really, if you got it, just turn to it. John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, so again, this truth, skip over a couple chapters, John 17:17, thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. What is that truth? It is eternal living reality. It cannot, it will not ever change. It simply is. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, or the Spirit of the word, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He'll guide you into the truth. So again, I can know that by his stripes I'm healed. Oh, but how do I walk it out in my life today? How do I walk it out in my life today? It'd be a good idea to go home, spend the night with the Lord, hear from him, come back the next day. I've got the answer. I can already see the end from the beginning. I already see how the manifestation of this is supposed to turn out. And this is what the instruction is. Go over here and dip in the river seven times. Go over here and speak to this. Go do this therapy. Go do this. Go do that. Find out what it is. Amen. Now, it could be, you know, it could be something as simple as, go for a walk. Go, you know, he can show you stuff that is specific to your situation. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what we need. This is a pattern for us to follow. So again, when something in your life does not line up with the Word of God, such as healing, seek Him first. Number one, inquire of the Lord and hear from Him. Inquire of the Lord and hear from Him. And until you hear, don't try to move on to step two. That would be presumptuous, and that's not faith. Faith hears from God. When faith has heard from God, now you actually have faith in God. Before that, it's not faith, it's presumption. It's presumption, it's assumption, but it's not actual faith. Faith is, again, faith is not guessing, faith is not reacting, faith is not presumption, but faith is obedience to revelation. Faith is obedience to revelation. Again, Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see the Father do. What was that? It was obedience to revealed knowledge. It was obedience to the word that Holy Spirit breathed on. This is what you need to do today, Jesus. I know you've talked about this with me in times past, and I told you to do nothing, and you've done nothing. But now I need you to go do something. Now, tomorrow, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go drive them out of the temple. You're going to upset their deal big time. But here's what you're going to do. You're not just going to do all that. You're going to teach the people. You're going to teach them about prayer. You're going to teach them how to have reverence for the things of God. That's what he did. He taught in that temple all day long. What was he teaching? Well, you saw the outline of it right there. This is a house of prayer for all the nations. You've made it into a den of robbers. And he taught on this all day long. Amen. Hallelujah. and obviously the people received the word. The masses received this word. They wanted to kill him, but they would not do it for fear of the people. If we go lay hands on Jesus here in the temple with this whole mob here, they're going to run us out of town. So no, we're going to come here at, we're going to come up with a plan at night, you know, and we're going to, you know, find someone to betray him and what have you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, second thing I want to look at here, and we're going to make this quick in these last few minutes, but the fig tree is withered. So let's look at this next passage here in Mark 11, 19 through 21. So when evening came, so again, the night before, day before, he's in the temple, does nothing, goes to Bethany, spends time at night with Father. The next morning, he's passing by the fig tree. He speaks 9 words to it. May no one ever eat fruit of you again. He goes on to the temple, spends all day, you know, preaching there. He goes home that night. And then the next morning, so this is 24 hours later after he has spoken those 9 famous words to the fig tree, may no one eat fruit from you hereafter forever. All right. So when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. As they were walking back in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from its roots. Peter remembered it. Of course he did. I love Peter. Peter remembered it and said, look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered. So a few things I want to note here. Just one, symbolically, the old covenant, the fruitless, external, powerless, it's coming to an end. The old covenant, the fruitless, the external, powerless, it's ending. The new covenant, the internal, spirit-empowered, fruitful, is beginning. This is really, so again, over the years, I'd kind of wondered, it's like, Jesus, why did you curse the fig tree? It's like everywhere else, he's blessing, he's ministering life, raising people from the dead. It's like, why are you cursing this fig tree? It's symbolic, right? Yeah. It's symbolic. And again, what you saw in the temple was what you saw with the fig tree. The fig tree throughout the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, it's a representation of the nation of Israel itself, its spiritual condition. So again, you have this tree, you have this fruit, you have this beautiful temple, you have all this activity, and there's no fruit going on. And Jesus has called them out over and over. You have all this going on, but you are the sons of the devil, right? Ouch. So he curses this old religious system. He curses this old way. It says no one's ever going to eat from that again. But I'm here. Again, this now it's about 3 days later. He's going to lay down his life on the cross, and he's going to usher in this new covenant. The eternal, spirit-empowered, fruitful life is now going to come. Amen. So looking at this on the practical side, Peter's shocked. Oh, wow, look at that. Jesus is not. Why? Again, because faith works at the root before it ever shows up in the fruit. Again, Jesus, when he spoke those nine words, the scripture says Jesus, they were all walking on the road. Jesus sees this fig tree afar off. This isn't right here. It's afar off. You know, 50 yards, 75 yards, 100 yards, afar off. So he walks over there and he speaks these nine words, and it was loud enough. It said where all the disciples, they heard what he said. So he spoke loudly with some authority to this thing. You know, I can imagine it probably something like, you know, as it was, get behind me, Satan. You know, it was something strong or devil, it's written. He said it loud with some authority. All right. And they heard it. So, but looking here, that word went to work. The word went to work. So again, he comes back that moment. Nobody saw anything happen. And you know the disciples, especially Peter, when they were going home that evening, they weren't leaving in dark. You know, they weren't walking country roads in the dark. Out in the country at night, it's dark. They weren't walking. It was still in the evening time. There was still light out. They saw that fig tree on the way home, and nobody saw anything different. But the next morning, 24 hours later, they noticed something about that tree. It's withered up. What we saw, all these green leaves, now we see dead leaves, we see brown leaves, we see a tree that's withered. I don't know if it was completely withered, but it was something withered up pretty good. All right. Amen. But which tells us when Jesus spoke those nine words, they went right to the heart, right to the root of that tree from that very moment. The word was working. No one saw anything happening in the moment. You didn't see it happening later on. Oh, but it was working. And eventually the word that was sown, the word that went to that root eventually showed up in this natural realm. Amen. And that was working the whole time. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, again, is using this moment to teach how the kingdom of God operates. Again, the roots responded the moment he spoke. The unseen realm of the spirit, that word obeyed and went to work instantly. The visible realm manifested later on, but the word was working the whole time. Again, this is the model, or this is the pattern of faith which Jesus lived out before them these 3.5 years. And use this to teach them about it. So looking at some key takeaways in this, faith works in the unseen realm before it shows up in the seen realm. Or we could say faith works in the spirit realm before it shows up in the natural realm. Everything has always originated in the realm of the spirit. Everything originates in the realm of the spirit. What did Jesus say? The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Words are not natural. Words are spiritual. Words are containers for spiritual thoughts and concepts. Words give voice to the realm of the spirit. That's a good way of saying it. Words give voice to the realm of the spirit. Positive or negative, you know, heaven or hell. These things, these words, they activate things. They cause things to come to pass. They cause things to come into manifestation. And what really words or faith or fear is simply pulling on. So faith-filled words are pulling on the realm of heaven and drawing that into this natural realm. Fear-filled words are drawing to the realm of hell and bringing this out. Life, death, blessing, cursing. Amen. Proverbs. This is good. Proverbs chapter 18. 20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. So your lips are producing something. Your lips are drawn upon heaven, or they're drawn upon hell. They're drawn on faith-filled words from God, or they're drawn on fear-filled words from the devil. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Amen. Today, we are the culmination of all the words that we have spoken out. Who you will be tomorrow is what you're speaking out today. Life or death, blessing or cursing, sickness or health. You decide. You choose with your mouth every day. You literally speak and you create your atmosphere, and then you just walk and live in it day by day. Amen. It works on both sides. It works on both sides. Faith works in the realm of the spirit before it shows up in this scene or in this natural realm. Next thing I want to really share with us again, we're talking about the God kind of faith. Time. Never let time steal your faith. Well, I spoke, I confessed these three scriptures three times, and it didn't happen by nightfall. Well, I guess it didn't work. Well, your faith is working for you right now. Your faith is working for you, and it's producing nothing because you cut it off. Hold fast. Hold fast to your confession of faith. Don't let time, don't let circumstances. Well, you know, I prayed and it got worse. Well, You can agree with the symptom, or you can just stay in agreement with the word. Amen. So again, this is why we're going to spend time, number one, inquiring and hearing from him. Because you won't fall for some. So a lot of times what happens, people will have a symptom. They'll have this. They'll just go over here and quote, well, I know what the word says. By his stripes, I'm healed. So Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, and I believe I receive my healing. Thank you. Amen. And then they just go from there. That is literally the extent of it. You know the will of God, but you've not heard from God. And you mistake this for faith. And then you blame God when it doesn't happen. Is it God's fault? No. We've got to take time to hear from your Holy Spirit. Jesus operated, number one, by he knew what was written, but he knew how to skillfully operate in the Word of God by the help of Holy Spirit. We are no different. He just modeled for us. He demonstrates for us as the master example for us to follow. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He is the Word. So let's say it this way. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for the Word promised is faithful. The Word promised, the Word that he's revealed to you, the Word that he's told you to go do, he's faithful to perform it. Jeremiah 1:12 says, I'm watching over my Word to perform it. It's not just this overarching truth that you know. What has he breathed on in your life for you today? Amen. Now I'm operating in the God kind of faith, not in presumptuous so-called faith. I can't tell you countless times over the years I've seen this. And I saw it and I knew it, but I had not studied enough to try to really understand the depth of it the way that I see it now. But I've seen this so much. And there'd be different little variations of it, you know, but again, people would take the example, well, I know the will of God is for me to be healed, so I'm just going to pray and I'm going to believe I receive it, but I'm not going to inquire any further. I'm not going to inquire to find out what caused this to happen in the first place. Did I open a door to something spiritually or physically? A lot of times you may have things going on in your body because you've done something in the natural. And if you just stop doing that and fix that behavior, you wouldn't have that pain. You wouldn't have that situation. You got to hear from God. I'm thinking back to Brother Kenneth Copeland. He shared a story decades ago. And he told it. I heard him tell it over and over again. How he was having severe pain in his joints. Now, he's a young man. He's a young man. This is going back 50 years. He's probably mid-30s, maybe 40. Severe pain in his joints. All the symptoms of arthritis. He knows what the scripture says regarding his healing. But he this kind of went on for a while, and finally he got before God. He found out, and God spoke to him. Guess what God said? Stop drinking coffee. God, I've got all this pain in my joints. Stop drinking coffee. So he said, I went and got all, he said, I was drinking way too much coffee. I was drinking a lot of coffee every day. I mean, tons of it. So he said, I went and got my coffee pot. I got all my coffee and all this fixings and all these doings. I got before the Lord and laid them on the altar, so to speak. He said, he made a whole ceremony out of it. And from that day till now, he's never drinking coffee. He put that on the altar. He says, I'm giving it up. There's a whole story there. He said, but when I did that, the pain went away and it never came back. That's a very easy, I say easy, that's a very simple, natural solution. He could have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And here's the thing, even if he had gotten miraculously healed and the pain went away for in that moment, if he's still drinking coffee the way he was drinking coffee, the pain would have come right back. How do you know how to handle every situation? Hear from him. Hear from him. It can be any combination of answers that'll come, but if and until you'll take the time to hear from him, because again, there's a lot of this, especially where healing is concerned. Even finances are concerned. You know, maybe there's some maybe you have financial situations because we need some money management, right? So even if God were to give you this financial blessing today to meet this need, if you're still mishandling money or still doing this thing or that thing, you're going to end up in the same boat 6 months from now or less. So again, there's you've got to hear from him as to what's going on here, because only Holy Spirit knows. Stop drinking coffee, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Say amen or oh me. Glory to God. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I preached long enough. Amen. Let's all stand. Praise God. We're going to close out here tonight. But before we do, Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. So again, Jesus did all the hard part. We're looking at this example here. Just a few days later, he goes to the cross. He who knew no sin was made to be sin. Praise God. With whose sin? Not his, mine. Your sin. Hallelujah. All the sin of the world, so that we who knew no righteousness could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son, that you sent him to take my place on the cross. Jesus, I confess you now as my Lord and my Savior. Jesus, come into my heart. Take my life. Do something wonderful with it. And I will live for the praise of your glory. Amen. Praise God. We believe according to Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10, and 13, that if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are saved. You are in the kingdom of God. And we call you brother or sister in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Until Sunday, know this. God loves you. We love you. And in Him, we are living in victory.